Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Fred.
Do you hear hammers and banging and crashing and people outside my window yelling at each other? Can you hear that? Or is my microphone?
No.
They're not there. Today is raining.
Okay.
And so there's a, for the last 7 days, not counting the weekend, 8 days now, there's been 8 people with big hammers taking the roof off, taking all these fake, look like slate, but they're not. There's some composite. They're taking those off. And then they're putting on a, it's a steep roof. So they're building ladders basically and platforms on the roof and they're bounding those in. It's been a nightmare. It is noisy and everything else. So we're getting a new roof and we're replacing these old tiles, which are only about 15 years old.
Yeah.
They were built the last 40 years. The company went out of business 2 years after they started shipping these things because they apparently didn't think through their product design that it had to actually survive under sunlight and thermal cycling.
Like, let's see, a roof.
Yeah. They didn't think about that. It's a recycled material and it's very cheap, it's very light, it's fire resistant, blah, blah, blah. And but if you look at it wrong, it'll fracture and fall off the roof. And you definitely don't walk on it. You don't touch it. And I had a skylight that we needed to attend to. So we got these great big like foam mattress type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 8-inch thick foam. And put it, strapped that into a piece of plywood. And then that was underneath the ladder, just to distribute all the weight on it. And we only broke one tile doing that.
Okay.
But if we would have walked up there with a regular ladder, it would have been potato chips fractured all over the place. So anyway, we decided to get it replaced. And because the tiles were a safety hazard, just falling off the roof.
Yeah.
But what my thought was is, what in the world did they do to say, yeah, this is going to last 40 years? I mean, how could they justify that at all?
Well, they took the book, the models, you know, for this material, and they...
It was composite material. They ground up a bunch of waste stuff and added some glue to it and pressed it.
Yeah. I don't know where, you know, the question is, where would they get the formula?
Yeah.
What was the glue polymers that they were using? And
3M probably told them this will work great, but it's too expensive. So they got some other thing out of the Ace hardware and said, oh, this has worked.
Right. And what kind of testing did they do? Did they use UV light to accelerate the cross-linking damage or the damage that it would occur over time?
Oh, I'm quite sure they stuck it on their own roof for a couple months and said, oh, it's working. It's great.
I mean, look at all the things, all the variabilities. I mean, first of all, you have the possibility of hail. Maybe not in your area, but roof tiles.
I saw a test for hail once. Remember Solyndra? They put fluorescent tube-looking things on roofs. They were glass. They were thin glass extruded things that collected solar energy. And I'm in their lab, and they had this, it was a 2-inch diameter hailstone that they had little molds to in certain freezers to create them. They're beautiful. They're crystal clear. I thought, geez, I need one of those for my whiskey tonight. You know, can I take one of those ice cubes home?
Yeah.
And they were using an air gun 20 feet away to get it to, what is it? When you're falling, you reach a terminal velocity.
Right.
You're getting this 2-inch chunk of ice to terminal velocity when it would hit their product.
Right. Right.
Just totally shattered it.
You
couldn't tell me that before you set this up?
I mean, all photovoltaic solar panels have to have this kind of ability to withstand that kind of velocity. And I have seen that. I've been through the manufacturer's facilities and testing facilities of those, and they've shown me where they, you know, fire the ice.
They're not using Gorilla Glass on top of these things. It's a polymer of some sort.
And right.
The impact and damage the cells underneath if it's not designed well.
Oh, yeah. But they also have to worry about the transparency of the glass or the transparency of a polymer. If it's a, they can't necessarily use plexiglass. They can't, you know, use something. They'll become brittle in ultraviolet light over time.
So back to this, the roofing thing here, right?
Yeah.
So the company went out of business. They just, you know, realized that, no, after 2 years, they had enough returns and complaints and stuff, and they were warranting it for, I don't know, claiming it would do 40 years and probably warranting it for five or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, and it's all, I have no inside information on them at all, but let's say you and I were designing a new roofing material, and being reliability nerds that we are, we'd say, if we're going to put this on a roof and it costs, you know, X amount of money to do it, it better last for 40 years.
Right. And we better understand the material properties of this material that we're putting up there and the long-term exposure to a tremendous variation in elements. If they're going to sell it, not just to you in California and in the nice wooded area, but you mean in Colorado, right? Exactly. Or, you know, in Phoenix, Arizona, where you're, you know,
hot and dry.
You're getting really hot and dry. Yeah. And temperatures all over the world. That's so, the range of conditions that you have to meet, that's where you would go with, you know, I mean, extreme cycling.
Well, it's kind extreme. Of thinking about where is it going to be used and how is it going to be used and what you and I would start brainstorming about, well, where are you planning on selling this, all right? Florida, right? Humidity, high winds, blah, 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 all these stresses.
Sea salt, all that,
all that good stuff. We would immediately run down this list, but you and I have the experience of seeing products fail for all of these reasons.
Right.
I did not expect that raccoons running on your roof could destroy it. That was, that's in my experience back now. You could tell where the raccoon's trail was right across our bedroom roof because all those tiles were dust.
A raccoon could break those tiles?
Oh, easy. A bird landed on one. I saw it break it.
God.
I mean, it got so brittle.
How old were these?
It started failing within 2 years. And we put up, we got some replacement tiles from a recycling place and we patched a few spots of it, but it just is accelerating. And to the point where there's no roof, there's no protection for the paper anymore.
I wonder how many of these he sold and if anybody sued them or were able to before they went out of business, which would have caused them to be out of business too.
Yeah.
Danger of unreliability.
But it's part of the construction industry. You know, the Romans still have roads and viaducts and baths.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Look at the Parthenon.
They were using concrete that has a self-healing property, and it's a certain amount of seaweed and salt water in it that was the formula. And just read about it a couple months ago, is that we are not able to reproduce it at scale. But their concrete, when it gets a crack, it heals. It mends the crack. And I thought, wow, I didn't know concrete could do that. But anyway. The idea is that when you build something, I mean, I think we're a victim of, it's a house that's only going to be there for 20 years and then somebody's going to tear it down and build a mini mansion in place of it. But you and I have been in houses and I am living in a house that's 50 plus years old and some of my neighbor's houses are over 100 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's no reason that a house is going to, you know, deteriorate. I think that we see, you know, buildings that are 100 years old all over the United States. Especially the adobe buildings in New Mexico that the Navajo and Pueblo Indians
built. Yeah, thousands of years old.
Right. And they're made out of mud and straw. They made a mixture that apparently they saw over centuries.
It's like ceramic at some point. Yeah. No, it can be done, but there's this pressure. What I ran into more than once, and I don't have enough details on these particular tiles, but every time I've run into the construction industry, And the materials that go into construction, whether it's a toilet or a window or a roofing tile, is they just do the minimum that says, oh, it'll ship all right. And, you know, our warranty is the taillight of the contractor pulling away. So, you know, or maybe they offer a little more. And it's, you know, built. So there's too many people that they can blame. They can blame the reseller for not stocking it correctly or caring for it well, or the contractor for not installing it correctly, or for the homeowner not maintaining it correctly, or whatever. And they can point to all their fingers all kinds of places. But I ran into it. I bought a house years and years ago, and the owner disclosed that the siding on the house is under a recall. And it was, I'm never going to trust this fabricated press crap on an exterior of a house again, because it would delaminate. And I said, what do you mean? And we walked around the side of the house, and you see that bulge right there? That's starting, and it's delaminating. Yeah. And when it's in a humid environment, this is up near Seattle. Talk about humid 9 months of the year. And he said, eventually that board will fall off because it can't hold, the nails won't hold because it just turns to mush.
Yeah,
and it'll affect every one of them on the house. And so we have a settlement, and I'll credit you back the money for that so that you can get the siding replaced, you know. So he was very upfront about it, and they came out and they assessed it and says, yep, this is all going, it's all bad. So they replaced the whole thing.
Yeah, except it's still a very big inconvenience for you and everything. You know.
Oh, I went to work.
Yeah.
I think I was in Singapore for 2 weeks.
Okay. That's the way to
something
do
like
it.
That.
I'm starting to see that in flooring that we put in. It's a laminate flooring, you know, Pergo. There are many different brands of this that are, they look very good as far as, and I did go to Consumer Reports and check out what they thought was the best quality, but I am seeing little bubbles in the joints between tiles, between planks, because it's starting, and you know, the whole idea, and I, you know, my wife says, well, that's where the dog has its, you know, accidents.
Yeah.
And it's good kind of sit, and I'm thinking, wait, a floor, a hardwood floor should be able to be mopped and not be damaged by water. So, you know, whether it's a dog urine or a spilled drink,
it's still cheap plywood, the Pergo and stuff like that. It's the wood level on top is an eighth of an inch at most.
Right.
It's this.
Right. It's a plywood underneath, and it's a fiber board is what it actually is. It's not, it's not plywood. It's a compressed, like a cardboard material.
It's cheap and easy to produce.
It lays down real well. It's now maybe 7 years, 6 years old. Or seven, and it's starting to show that. So I don't really have any recourse, I don't think. Although there's plenty of places on YouTube that says how you can repair that. But it just shows that, you know, does the manufacturer really, you know, aware of how these different impacts, if somebody were to, you know, suddenly
would you
drop
call
a drink
and say, hey, you know, this is failing in. Because what's the, they're not going to say, oh, we'll come replace your flooring.
Right.
You know, and if you run a contractor out there, it's going to be $300 for them to cut off a section and relay another one in it. If they can find a mat, because they change styles and construction stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Right. You won't get anything that matches. Right. Just like, so I could, and I don't know if, you know, there's what the warranty period is. I haven't literally looked into it because I really kind of don't want to deal with it, and it's not gotten so bad right yet.
I had bought a new house here in California and it was a new construction, and we got a good heavy rain, driving rain, and it's puddling inside the kitchen. I'm like, it's coming down the wall around us. Around a doorway, and I'm like, what in the world? And it turns out that I ended up being on a legal case, a expert witness for that, against the company that actually made those windows. And they went to a different fastener for the corners. So think like a picture frame.
Yeah.
Right. And So they would make these channels that then held the glazing and everything else, but then they wanted a faster way to connect these things. And so they basically just put a plastic plug in it, which had no seal at all. And so the lawyer asked him, so how do you know that that window was going to be sound in a rainstorm? He says, well, ASTM has this rain test, and he said, please explain that. And I had already set him up. It's like they take a perfect frame in the warehouse that's perfectly built and perfectly installed, and they take a hose that has a nozzle on it to replicate rain at certain speeds and pressures and everything else. ASTM does a good job if you want to create a replicate a test. And they shoot water at it for 20 minutes. And then they look on the inside saying, is there any water in here? That's it. There's no thermal cycling. There's no variation in installation. There's no... it's perfectly installed. And the plastic and the metal and the wood have not been thermal cycled at all.
So
you move them a bit, and now that joint just goes wide open.
Right. It doesn't take much of a
doesn't separation. Take much at all. No. And I said, and they say that test proves that it will last 40 years. And I'm like, and I wasn't on the stand or anything, but I'm prepping my lawyer and says, here's why that's totally inaccurate.
Right.
Standard tells you how to run a test. It doesn't tell you if it going to last or not.
Do the standards tell you that, you know, you have to do more than one sample? And
No. It's one. It's one. And it's for 20 minutes. And that's it. Not hurricane, not anything else. And there's different tests for different types of storms.
Right.
And types of rain. But the idea is that, and you see it in electronic standards too, is it'll say, oh, if you do this and make sure you flip it over twice, and then it'll be good.
Right. Very simple.
Good? What is good? What does that mean? It says, well, it works. They're like, yeah, it works after that stress, but what does that mean? It says, well, it works after being in a chamber at 85 C for an hour. That's what it means. It means it works after that exposure.
That's all you know about
That's all you know. And I like, you cannot interpret these tests to back up long range claims because you're not replicating the long range stresses that it's going to see. And the lawyer like, oh, that makes sense. So they won the case. But the idea was that you can hide behind the standards. And I think the construction industry does that carte blanche. And I'm sure there's ones out there that do a great job, but it's a thin margin business. And there's so many steps in the process that, you know, I don't know who I'd call if this window sitting next to me started leaking. There's no label on it. There's no plate on it saying it's from so-and-so or this or that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that seems to be a lack of, for ASTM or whoever, that, you know, fatigue damage over time is an important factor on the reliability of building materials and assemblies, all mechanical assemblies.
But after 5 years, you know, if it lasts at least that long, you know, we don't get a hurricane, we don't get a big storm, and they say it's active nature anyway, hailstorms active nature.
Right.
Like, you're in Texas, you're going to get hailstorms.
Right.
It's just going to happen.
Right.
They can send out products that contractors will use and build because they get a better margin. And those teams all can just drive away from it. Now, this house that I bought years ago in California with the window leaking, they were still building other houses in that development. The same contractor was. The same windows. And I said, you know, this is leaking. And I don't know whether you have it's beyond the original contractor's warranty, which was 1 year. I said, but you really don't want me going to the news to broadcast how badly built this house is, do you? And so the scaffolding was up the next day. That was my only recourse, is go to the local news station and saying these guys are so damn cheap, they can't even install windows correctly.
I guess since you're a reliability expert, but you know, maybe they wouldn't, you know, do that for just anybody complaining, because they would say, you know, they were installed incorrectly, or, you know, we didn't do that. the manufacturer of the window.
Yeah. Well, then, but don't buy those damn windows anymore. Due diligence did you do? But you realize that that contractor building a house is dealing with 1,000 different types of components and materials and stuff.
And you know that all construction original projects are using the lowest cost materials. And I see that I still have the original windows in this house, and they're really, most of them have failed as far as being able to have the counter spring to hold them up and, you know, but they're, you know, they do the job. I've got two panes usually on them because of Colorado and the cold, but, you know, they do, I don't know. They're not leaking.
But you know.
So, yeah, well, that I could observe. And so that would be a reason I would definitely go change them, go replace them. But it's
tough. Construction industry, I think there are good craftsmen out there. There are good vendors. You have to pay for it. That's not cheap.
And this long-term reliability is critical for, I mean, that's what a structure is about. It's not going to be technologically obsolete very quickly.
No.
So, you know, and it's our homes. It's where we live, you know, and it's very important.
So I'm very happy today that it's raining, one, because it's definitely the end of the fire season for the foreseeable.
Well, you got the new roof?
Few months. No, they don't have it on yet. No. So it's, but they got it all watered down.
Okay. So they put some, plastic something or whatever.
Yeah, they got it. So it's not leaking. That we can tell at the moment. And
well, it is fixed.
But it's also that they're not eight guys tromping around on the roof of my house banging everything with a great big hammer. So it's actually quiet today. So I like that.
So what is the material you're putting up to replace it?
A metal roof. Steel.
A metal. Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty well established.
Yeah. And I'm watching the installation process pretty closely it's not something I would have been able to do. The technique of getting it together and watertight. Takes some knowing what you're doing and how to, you know, deal with all these different features of the house and the roof and stuff like that. But they did the demo.
Sealed. It's large panels of metal.
Yeah. And they all interlock, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool the way it goes together. And I think it'll look pretty nice too. But the real feature is not just the metal. It's the underlayment is this, it's sort of like a fire blanket.
Yeah. Where so it has like better insulated.
Well, it's a bit of insulation, but its primary purpose is to not transfer heat. So if a falling branch or an ember falls on the roof, it will last going to a standard again.
Right. It will not catch on
degrees, fire. 3,000 degree, 1-inch diameter flame, like a blowtorch, basically, blowing on this roof when it's completed, will not ignite or damage the underlayment, the plywood, basically, that's under it. So it's fire resistant. One of our neighbors claimed his house is fireproof, and the rest of his joke, to his chagrin, that give us 10 minutes and two matches, we'll show you how fireproof your house is.
Yeah, there were about 110 homes here very close by to my house that might have been fireproof, but when it comes to a 60 mile an hour wind and
100 fire
no raid,
100 high
sorry
wave of flame.
It's a pile of ash no matter what you're gonna do. So yeah, that's why they don't use the term waterproof anymore, because
it's water resistant. Yeah.
And you have to worry about forest fires, I think, in your area.
So happy to have a roof that the raccoons can use as a slip and slide down instead of a potato chip field. So we'll see how that works.
But yeah, well, good luck on that. I hope it doesn't leak, and we know it's not going to fall apart.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll find out in 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's, you know, the construction industry needs some reliability engineers and customers that actually want reliable products at the end of the day. But I don't think that's going to change much here in the future. You know, if you're listening to this and happen to be in the construction industry in one form or fashion, you know, we'd love to hear what differentiates a reliable solution versus not in your business. And how do you know? That would be interesting to hear about. Or if you've got a home disaster of some sort, you know, you got to deal with that, that's something wore out or broke when it shouldn't have. Yeah, let's talk about that. Those are always good stories.
Yeah. So
if you're listening to this, let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. Couple of ways to get in touch with us. Kirk and I and the other hosts are available through LinkedIn and our about pages on Ascendo. And so while it's quiet today, I might actually get some work done. So happy we had a chance to record.
Yeah. Good to talk to you again, Fred. And we'll do it again.
Yep, certainly. All right. Cheers. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.